Well, please be seated, everyone. It's great to see all those smiling faces and hear those enthusiastic voices coming back from lunch. You've been fed lunch. You were fed spiritually this morning, and the meal continues. And now to bring us the next course, an elder from the Cleveland congregation, Mr. Greg Thomas, for this afternoon's sermonette.
Well, thank you, Mr. Henderson. Brethren, actually, I'm from Canton. How many of you would prefer an alternative sermonette this afternoon where we just gently close our eyes and have 12 minutes of prayerful reflection and meditation? How many would be for that? No, there were too many hands. No. The last time I give you that option. Well, this is my 37th celebration of the Feast of Trumpets as a baptized adult in the Church of God. And each year the holy days become more meaningful to me as I incorporate my own life experiences with the Word of God. And if you've been around for a while attending God's holy days, you know, of course, that each feast day has rich symbolism and it has tremendous meaning. And today I would like to focus on just one aspect of a meaning behind the Feast of Trumpets and how it relates to our generation of the church. To carry forward with the theme we had earlier today, we are going to go back to the future. Because there is coming a time symbolized by the Feast of Trumpets, which is forward-looking, when Jesus Christ returns to earth, and when there is a resurrection, a first resurrection of the saints of Jesus Christ at that time. But before that event occurs, going back to the future, something else had to occur. And I want you to think about the fact that when a trumpet is blown, something, it signifies that something important is about to happen. Whenever a trumpet is blown, it signifies that something very important is about to happen. Let me take just a few seconds here to remind all of us of what a trumpet itself represents, to remind ourselves about the very name of this day and where it came from. To do that, I would just like to read a paragraph from Holman's Bible Dictionary regarding their article on trumpets. It says, similar in function to the shofar was the trumpet. Now, the shofar was usually a ram's horn. And it was a poor man's trumpet is what it was, because it wasn't made out of metal. It didn't have to be hammered. It wasn't too sophisticated. Every time you had a ram die, you had the potential of having an instrument. And it was kind of tubular-shaped, a spiral, and you could blow it and make a sound. In contrast, as it's saying in this article, similar to the function of a shofar was the trumpet. It was a straight metal instrument, flared at the end, and thought to have a high, shrill tone. Sounded in pairs, the trumpet was known as the instrument of the priest. And they say compare Numbers 10, verses 2 through 10, for a description of usages. Also, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 12, it's where 120 trumpeters are mentioned. The sound of the trumpet introduced temple ceremony and sacrifice, the trumpet itself being counted among the sacred temple utensils in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 13. Now, the purpose of a trumpet was to broadcast information to others. It was a communication device. Long before there was text messaging and email blasting and Twitter, there was the trumpet. And depending on the type of sound, whether the sound from the trumpet had a long tone or a short tone or staccato or how many blasts were on the trumpet, depending on what that sound was, you knew that it was time to gather together, time to break camp, time to prepare for war, or it might be a security warning to be on alert. And also, in contrast to these things, the trumpet also signaled a time to celebrate. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. One of the meanings of the Feast of Trumpets, again going back to the future, understanding what's ahead of us and what this feast represents, one of the meanings of the Feast of Trumpets is regarding you. It regards the Church of God. Because this day pictures the preaching of the gospel to the world by God's faithful watchmen, who accepted the responsibility of preaching a twofold message to the world. Remember what Jesus said, that he could not return until the message of the gospel was sent to all the world. Remember that a trumpet is blown before something important happens. So the church was given actually a twofold message. Let's take a look at the first part of that message in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. This is a scripture that we understand going in our modern era all the way back to the 1930s, that the Church of God has a role and a responsibility to be a watchman. Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. And here's what the prophet Ezekiel wrote. He said, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say unto them, When I bring a sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, the blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life." So in essence, appoint a watchman. If the watchman does their job and there's danger, they blow a warning signal, and those who ignore that warning signal, they suffer to their own destruction. Those who listen to that warning signal and change their ways and change their lives, they will save their life. Now let's pick it up in verse 6. "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." And one of the responsibilities of the United Church of God that we understand is to warn the world that decisions have consequences. National and personal sin results in pain and suffering. And when sin is repeated, when it's tolerated, the end result is destruction. And there will absolutely be a time of a coming judgment by the great judge himself upon this world. That's a warning message. And that's a message that's in a good part of our literature, good part of our media effort. This is a very important message and one that we've been given. But it's not our only message. God wants his church to be balanced because God's plan includes much more than pointing out sin and judgment. It includes something else that we should trumpet. There's another part of the message that we should announce boldly and powerfully to the entire world. To have credibility in the eyes of others, we must do more than simply point out problems. Anyone can point out problems we have in this world. The politicians do that every day. As a matter of fact, one of our major political parties in the United States has become known, has a reputation of being the party of no. Because whatever idea is suggested is no. We should maybe, no. Well, how about no? And they've become associated with an attitude that they never have any good ideas. They never have any positive to bring to the table. But they're always the first ones to point out an error in someone else. And the role of the church is not just to point out problems and to warn of the consequences, but to offer positive solutions. So do we have those positive solutions? Turn with me, if you would, now to Numbers chapter 10 and verse 8 as we look at how a trumpet was used. Numbers chapter 10, beginning in verse 8. Before we get to this verse, of course, Moses commanded the priests to make two silver trumpets. And he outlined how the different types of signals would represent different events that they would have to be prepared for, different types of warnings. And now we'll pick it up here in verse 8 of Numbers 10. It says, "The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall blow the trumpets, And these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to warn your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Now let's take a look at verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, at the beginning of your months you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. In the translation, the New Century Version reads verse 11 like this. Also blow your trumpets at happy times and during your feast and at the new moon festivals. Blow them over your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, because they will help you to remember your God. I am the Lord your God. So we see here in Numbers 10 that the trumpets had another important meaning and message besides that from warning, besides that of telling people to be cautious. It signaled a time to celebrate good things. So let me ask you a question. As God's church, do we have a message to trumpet to the world that's a message of gladness? Do we have a message to announce to the world that's a message about good things, solutions to the problem, not just pointing out the problems, but solutions to the problems that exist in this world? Well, we absolutely do. If you would turn to Luke chapter 4, the final scripture I'll read in the sermonette today, we'll see that we do have another message, because our message is twofold. One, as a powerful warning, and another, set forth by this example of Jesus Christ himself. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. I give you a little background again on this scripture. Jesus goes to Nazareth. He goes into a synagogue. He is given the opportunity to speak. He opens to the book of Isaiah and he reads what we know of as verse 1 and only half of verse 2, and then he closes the book. He stops in the middle of verse 2. He only reads the part that is a prophecy about his first coming. And he stops dead in the middle of the second verse because it's something about his second coming. And he was there to talk about why he was there in Nazareth on that day as a fulfillment of the first verse and a half of Isaiah. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." That old English word meaning good news, to preach the good news to the poor. Now he's going to define it. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. A message so positive, so encouraging, so powerful that it encourages people who are discouraged. It livens people who are ready to give up, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to those who feel like they're just a slave to the world and the slave to everything and they're never going to get ahead, and they feel burdened by life and burdened by sin and burdened by the problems that they have. He's come to proclaim liberty and recovery of sight to the blind. That's physical healing. To set at liberty all of those who are oppressed. All of those who would be called and heed God's call would no longer be oppressed by sin, but would be released from it and have liberty in Christ because of his shed blood. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that particular verse 19 is not translated very well in the New King James. In the New Century Version, verse 19 says, and to announce the time when the Lord will show his kindness. Meaning Jesus was saying, from this point onward, God to a certain group of people, beginning with them and to the whole world, is going to find them acceptable. He's going to be delighted in them. He's going to find good pleasure in people because the shed blood of Jesus Christ healed that breach between mankind and their God. So Jesus came not only to warn about sin, but to preach the good news of the coming kingdom of God. It's a message of encouragement. It's a message of healing. And the message is so important, he gave it to his church as a commission in Matthew chapter 24. And he said that the powerful trumpeting message of the good news was so powerful that it had to be preached in all the world before he could come. He said, and then the end will come. So before his feet touch upon the Mount of Olives, symbolized by this forward-looking day, a trumpet announces something that is important, that is about to happen. And that trumpet for us is a twofold message. Yes, God's church has the responsibility of preaching this twofold message. Brethren, it's two sides of the same coin. One side of it is the message of the consequences of sin and the pain caused by breaking God's law. And the other side is the encouraging hope offered by a loving God who forgives sin and is building a family to manage his coming kingdom. That is what we have been called to do. That is the trumpet blast that we all have the opportunity to be part of. It's my prayer that we never waver in our proclamation of these messages. So let's remember that the Feast of Trumpets is certainly about the future return of Jesus Christ. But it's also about the present day role that you and I have within the Church of God. May God bless us so that we truly can trumpet the powerful Word of God into all the world.